Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Yeah. Calm superiority wins every time. Trust me.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 6, Episode 15, Amanda's Back. Now, has she returned, or are we talking about the thing that's not her front? Let's find out with our hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Hi, listeners. Before we get into this episode, we want to tell you what's happening on our Patreon. Again with this episode 137, dropping March 24th. Let's watch Luke Perry host Saturday Night Live. Yes, the entire episode is up on archive.org in a medium quality VHS rip, but still, we'll link that in the show notes if you want to watch it first. Perhaps less for Perry than for the musical guest, Mick Jagger. That is season 18, episode 12 from 1993. Were we ever so young? Anyway, you can hear us talk about that this Friday if you join us at any level at againwiththispodcast.com/club, and we hope to see you there once you join. There are many other perks as well. Now let's get into this episode. The A/only plot. Everyone is all snarled up together. I don't remember if this has ever happened on Melrose Place before. It was, like, impossible to disentangle anyone from this, like, big glob of everyone.
I mean, I think maybe in earlier seasons when it actually mattered that they all lived together, and that was right. Kind of the point. Mm-hmm. But since the more siloed times in the last season and a half or two seasons, not really.
Yeah.
Like, even Craig got a line that maybe had something to do with something. Huh.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, enjoy it. We're going to talk about everything in the actual order that it happened. Here we go. We open on the Angels Point Ranger Station in the Angeles National Forest. A team is on its way out when Kyle enters in his fucking suit to make everyone's job harder. Jesus. Kyle is then surprised to see Billy there, even though Billy's wife went down in the crash, as opposed to Kyle's ex-girlfriend, whom he's been telling to fuck off when he's not calling her a whore lately. Mm-hmm. Anyway, authorities have not found the crash site yet. Billy directs Kyle to the guy in charge, Ranger Virgil, played by the great Jim Beaver of Deadwood and many other shows fame, The Boys. Kyle demands to know what Virgil's doing, and instead of punching through his skull, Virgil lists all the things you would expect, and Kyle is a bitch about it. Clip two.
I've had air and ground parties out all day covering their flight plan. They apparently wandered off course. I'm afraid I'm going to have to cancel operations for tonight, though.
Oh, no, you can't do that. No, the temperature is dropping out there.
I'm quite aware of the weather conditions. I've got one last chopper run going out now.
I'm going to be on it.
Whoa. I'm afraid that's not possible.
Yeah? Watch me.
You want to ground that helicopter, son, just go ahead and sit in it. There's a storm coming in. It's too risky for anyone who isn't trained.
I don't care how risky it is. I was a Marine in the Gulf War.
Whoopee-doo. I was a grunt in Vietnam.
You got some attitude, pal.
You're out of here, pal.
I'm too busy for this crap.
Wait, sir. Hey, come on. Let's just relax here. My friend just showed up. So I'll brief him on what's what. He's not going to get in the way, all right? I promise.
We'll find him. Now, the good thing about an air search at night is if they lit a fire, we'll see it.
And if they didn't, you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah, he's not going to get in the way. Bitch, he's already in the way, like, telling the person whose job it is to try to find Amanda that he's got some attitude. Fuck off. I wish that was the end of Kyle being a bitch about it, but it's not.
Nope.
Cut back to the crash site. As we did see in the last episode, Sam did manage to light a fire. And she's still doing CPR on Amanda, reviving her just as we rejoin them. And Amanda tells Sam to start walking. Amanda still can't move. And she sounds like she's already given up, saying, "Don't be afraid, I'm not," and the like. So Sam yells at her not to fall asleep because Kyle and Billy are looking for them. And Amanda's sure Sam will make it. And Amanda's just so sleepy. And Sam is basically like, only a weak little girl would fall asleep. And it kind of works. And after the credits, which feature the cut-off denim underpants again in the B-roll, we are seeing Megan and Coop in bed together. The naked duvet and checked pillowcases suggest they are at Coop's place, but the padded headboard and throw pillow make me think hers. Let's find out together, but also congrats and then a question mark on these two boning. Coop comments that they will have to get to work soon. Megan sighs, then admits it's because she's so happy and Michael must be lonely right now. And then Jennifer is there pointedly clearing her throat a few feet away because it's not a padded headboard. It's the back of the fold-out couch because this unit started as a studio and turned into a one-bedroom at some point when Sydney was living there. But no one decided to push their luck by adding yet another surprise bedroom onto it. And if they were going to, the time would have been when Bobby Parisi was living there since he is a bedroom himself.
Oh, yeah. I remember that guy.
Yeah. Anyway, Jennifer's on her way out with her Walkman, but can't help walking through Megan's bedroom on her way to the door, which, like, y'all know Coop has his own whole place to himself downstairs, right? Like, maybe fuck there. I'm not here to tell you what to do, but use your head. Anyway, before Jennifer leaves, she very gravely tells Coop that Megan deserves a great man who will treat her well. And if he doesn't, he'll answer to Jennifer. And, you know, I think Megan deserves whatever she ends up with because she's stupid. But
yep, agree.
Cut to the stairs outside where Jennifer tries to stop Michael from going in and making a scene. And obviously he ignores her and just walks straight in without knocking and announces that he wants Megan back. Saying also, Coop is going to use her until she's used up.
Ew.
And then it's Coop's turn to loudly clear his throat so Michael can see him standing behind them in a towel because he decided to take a shower there and then put his dirty clothes back on rather than just go back to his own apartment downstairs.
And yeah, Coop also striking a pose, like making it full Twyla, that he's like, look at all this work I did on my six pack. Like,
well,
I mean, no one cares still. Sorry. I paused it to make sure I didn't care. And sure enough, well, still don't care.
It's in the visual aids. You can also see, I think it's less his six pack and more like how much pain he went through to get his chest waxed because it is 100% hair free.
Yeah.
Anyway, for the 400th time, Coop asks Michael if they can try to be civil for the sake of the practice. And clip three.
Oh, yeah, just a couple of working Joes and a working girl. Hey, we're all professionals here. You know, as long as you pay your bills, she'll warm your bed. And then we can all smile at each other in the office like none of it mattered. Well, none of it does.
Wow, I can't believe Michael still has been unsuccessful getting Megan back when he's calling her a dirty sex worker every time they have any interaction.
Yeah.
Over to the condo, Lexi brings Bob a plate of French toast on the deck while Peter talks on the phone inside. Bob resets their plot line before Peter comes out and reports what we know about the crash. And Lexi is sure Amanda's fine, and Peter's like, cool, thanks, and snits out. And Bob obviously does not know the backstory, and Lexi uncharitably says Amanda probably staged the crash. This animosity is coming out of literally nowhere. Like, from Taylor, it's also shitty, but okay. But right. I don't think Lexi and Amanda have talked to each other since they first met at the jazz club, like, 12 episodes ago.
Yeah, I don't think they have either. Everyone's pretty well siloed. I can't imagine where this comes from. Unless Lexi, somehow, now that she's no longer on the pills... has figured out that Peter and Amanda still have the best chemistry on the show and is threatened, but I don't think she's that smart.
And no. Anyway, Bob can tell Lexi is worried under it all. Lexi snaps that he doesn't know anything about her, but he feels like he's known her for a long time. Maybe they ran into each other on the street. That's not what he means, but it's still funny. And tensely, Lexi says he might recognize something familiar in her because she used to have the same problem with pills that he does with alcohol, and Peter saved both their lives, in which case Bob says he owes Peter double. Ugh, Bob. Back to the ranger station. A team comes in to say they spotted the crash, but they couldn't touch down because of the trees, and the pilot saw no signs of life. Virgil says they'll send a team out at first light, but Kyle fights him again, saying they should go up right now, on foot, in the dark, and Billy backs him up. Clip four.
Look, ground's pretty level about 4 miles downhill. I can land you guys there. You can hike up.
That's a two-hour trek. You might still walk right past it in the dark.
No, have your man fly back to the site in 2 hours, shine his light down, show us where to go.
I don't think it's a good idea.
No, I don't care what you think. If you don't fly us in, we're going to run a chopper. We're going to fly in ourselves.
I don't respond to threats, son.
It's not threats. It's just good sense. Hey, if we go in there and we find them before you do, you're going to look like fools. If we don't find them, big deal. What? Two more idiots lost in the woods.
Man's got a point there, Virgil.
No, he doesn't.
All right. If you let him get gone.
All right. All of you.
I mean, he sort of has a point that if these two idiots get lost in the woods, at least Virgil can, you know, get some shit done
without true.
Kyle in his blazer over a t-shirt tactical woods gear.
Okay, yes.
I mean, right. I'd be like, here's a map. Good luck. And it would just be like wrong and would send them into a cave. And it'd be like, just this should hold these little SOBs for like 6 hours so that we could get a chopper up there and beat them to it.
Right.
Fucking Kyle. Shut up.
But also Billy's thing of like two more idiots lost in the woods. Like, yeah, two more idiots that they will then have to also find. And I don't trust either of you two to be able to light a fire. I don't care about Kyle's military service.
Yeah.
He came here in a suit.
Yeah. I mean, again, if I'm Virgil, I'm pretending I never saw those two, don't know what they're planning, and I'm not trying to find them, but that's why I'm right. Not Virgil.
True. Later, Taylor finds Michael drinking at Kyle's. Michael pouts that Megan is with Coop now, so all of his and Taylor's sexy lies, remember that, were for naught. And Taylor commiserates that she had Kyle in the palm of her hand before he took off to look for Amanda. Michael thinks that knight in charming armor rescue bid is baloney. And on cue, Jennifer, Craig, Megan, and Coop all burst in, celebrating a huge order at Glovco. Jennifer seems to be the first one to remember this doesn't actually benefit Michael at all, and then says the order is not that big, and they all head for a table on the opposite side of the restaurant instead of leaving, going to eat somewhere else. And Michael leaps up to go yell at them, but Taylor stops him, saying he can't give them the satisfaction. Calm superiority is the way, as we heard up top, but like, how would she know? She's never been calm or superior.
It's true.
So instead, Michael sends them a bottle of champagne. Craig and Coop salute Michael with their glasses, and clip five.
Hope you choke on it.
Like, okay, play that clip again, Dave.
Hope you choke on it.
Is that Coop at the other end of the restaurant saying he probably hopes we choke on it?
I don't. If so, yeah, what it's the funny. Hell? Yeah, it's very weird that that got left in.
Yeah. Back to the crash site, where improbably clip six.
Sam, we're coming, baby.
Oh God! Shut up, Billy. Shut up
it's
forever.
It's Billy.
The helicopter is hovering above to light up the area, as previously discussed, as the guys uselessly race in at the front of the search party. And hilariously, no one at the ranger station lent Kyle, like, a flight suit or something. So I guess he did this two-hour hike in his suit and dress shoes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sam yells over the helicopter noise that Amanda may have a broken back and they shouldn't move her. So Kyle just kneels next to her real close and tell her he loves her and he will never leave her again. And after the commercial, EMTs are rolling Amanda and Sam into a hospital. The nearest hospital? No, because Peter is there in a lab coat.
Yeah.
So they definitely brought them back to Wilshire Memorial instead of going to a hospital in Barstow.
Like, where exactly where exactly did this helicopter go down?
Yeah.
Benedict Can? Topanga?
Yes.
They're at Laurel Canyon? Like, guys, no.
They were right behind the Topanga Canyon Country Store, or whatever that place is. anyway, clip 7.
Vital signs are stable. This patient has a possible subdural hematoma. No movement in her legs. No sensation at all below T10.
Peter, I can't feel anything.
You're going to be fine, Amanda. I got a neurosurgeon waiting in OR. I won't let you down.
She's suffering from exposure, too. They both are. Don't forget about that.
God, you're all right. I was so worried about you.
This is not the time or the place for this. I will see you at the club later. Just wait for me there.
Yeah, please.
It's not the time or the place for what?
Right.
Kyle, with your t-shirt and your suit. And then occasionally he will just stop and like blue steel and then continue being a butthole. This character is rapidly becoming the worst.
Yeah. He is very annoying. And like the sidebar or the several episodes we spent with him like being extremely misogynistically mad did not help. Like this face turn does not totally work for me, I have to say.
No, it doesn't work for me either. And the writers clearly either don't care if they get him out of it. Mm-hmm. Out of Dutch with us elegantly, yeah. Or, I mean, you know, it's not Rob Estes's fault, but this is just really like, eh. And even Amanda's like, uh-huh.
Yeah. So when Taylor asks about Amanda and hears about her back, the look on Taylor's face is unmistakably, ooh, now's my chance. And you can see that in the visual aids. Mm-hmm. Elsewhere, Sam is friggin' trying to sleep, or so it seems, while Billy sits on the edge of her bed yammering about how upset he was at the thought of what his life would be like without her, and that he couldn't picture anything at all, and then she opens her eyes and admits she's been awake, but she just liked listening to him. Well, I guess someone had to, because we don't.
It's Billy.
And I guess she's feeling better because she decides this is the time to bring up Connie's allegations about the serious pass that Billy made on her. And he denies it, adding that if she asked Connie about it now, she would say it was a misunderstanding. And I guess that's all it takes for stupid Sam, because she says no one's ever saved her before. But now Billy's done it twice, and she guesses she married the right guy. And then...
La-di-di.
La, la, die, die. And then Peter's coming out of the OR to tell Kyle Amanda's spinal fusion was successful, but clip 8.
And there's a possibility she may not walk again.
No, it's one of the worst possible outcomes for somebody like Amanda.
Okay, somebody like Amanda, okay, sure, but I think you'd have a hard time finding anyone who would say that outcome is no big deal.
Like, yeah, I mean, I guess actually for somebody like, you know, us, well, like we like to sit around, so that's a great outcome.
Yeah.
Except
I'm not
how
saying...
are we supposed to go get more snacks?
That's the problem.
This logic doesn't work at all, Kyle.
See? Even for someone like me who uses her legs as little as possible, I still use them a bit. Anyway, when asked, Peter says he hasn't told Amanda yet because, of course, he hasn't. She just finished surgery. But in that case, Kyle feels he should be the one to tell her. Peter says it's his job as the doctor, who should definitely not be treating her his ex-wife, by the way. And also, he thought Kyle and Amanda broke up. And while things have been rocky lately, understatement, Kyle is sure Amanda knows now that he loves her. And as Amanda's friend, Peter must let Kyle be the one to break the news to her. This is preposterous.
Yeah.
No.
No. None of this. I mean, this whole contrivance so that Heather Locklear can just not be on her feet for a few weeks, like, okay, that's fine. But they are in, like... poor man's soap dish brain transplant territory with this shit. Like, just go completely over the top and attach an arm to her neck or something, because this is so dumb. And also 10 million HIPAA violations, even though that didn't exist yet, but none of this is appropriate. Goodbye.
Yeah. So then Billy comes home from the hospital. Connie asks how Sam is. She will be home in a couple of days, and she would like to see Connie. And when Connie shakes her head, Billy goes on clip 9.
Is there a problem? I didn't tell her anything about, you know, about you.
Meaning what? Like I've done something naughty?
No. Just thought you'd want to tell her yourself. I knew you were going to want to go see her.
Well, I can't. Okay?
After she almost died, I thought you cared for her.
I love her, Billy. But she loves you. You won.
This isn't a contest. What, are you mad because she wanted to see me first? Because she loves a man?
Get off your high horse, Campbell. I don't make those kinds of distinctions.
Sam doesn't care that you're gay either.
The truth is, I always kept that from her because I was afraid it would come between us. If I smiled at her too long, afraid of feeling her pull back when we hugged hello or goodbye, that's why I can't go see her now. Because I want to hug her, and I don't want to lie to her anymore.
Look, if you decide that you don't want to tell her about any of this, that's what you really want, then I'll respect that. I won't say a word. But if you're the friend of Sam's that I know you are, then I think now is the time to go see her.
Well, aren't you the gracious host?
Okay.
Both of you, fuck off.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I appreciate them finally saying, like, Sam does not know that Connie is queer, because that did not come up in the earlier conversation. But also in the earlier conversation, she said, I'm not ashamed of being gay. And, like, This is not how someone acts if they are. Like, get someone to do a sensitivity read on these scripts. I know that was not a thing in 1998, but, like, to figure out what your angle is on this, because this is all over the map and really offensive.
Yeah. Well, and I think this is at a point in cultural history where there was a, it was a way to sort of like push the envelope, like this cool girl, I will, you know, make out with another girl in front of dudes way.
Yes.
Ladies' queerness that mm-hmm. is like gross. Like, I just flash on like David Faustino with his giant like collared shirt over his blazer collared, like, and everyone smoking cigars and just being sort of flip and gross
mm-hmm.
and making this very male gazy.
Yeah.
So, this is sort of where the show is, and there's something to be done about that. But, like, if her motivation the whole time was like, I don't want her to know I'm gay because I don't want to spook her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Like, we can work with that, but everything else that, like, every other way they've chosen to set that up, to set up this sort of, like, climactic revelation, mm-hmm. is like, well, that doesn't exactly play.
Right.
Does it?
Yes.
I will also say that is Megan Ward the yeah. actor's name?
Mm-hmm.
She's doing really well, given that this is not thought through at all and mm-hmm. that nobody who is actually queer has ever been near that writer's room, it seems like, mm-hmm. often. So,
yeah. Yeah, I agree. And we'll get more of like her, the latest version of her motivation when it's her final scene shortly so we can discuss it more there, but like I'll table my remarks until then. So at the condo, Lexi wanders in on Peter in the shower, perfunctorily asks about Amanda, then tries to launch into her own story about some bullshit. Peter puts her off, so she purrs that she'll tell him in bed, and he says that's not going to be for a while. The first 24 hours are crucial in cases like Amanda, so he's going right back to the hospital. She starts to snit off, but Peter stops her. He knows he's been preoccupied, but this is a unique situation. He'll be there for her late tomorrow night. And she takes her little bratty face around the corner to see that Bob is lurking in their bedroom, twinning with her in shades of beige, as you can see in the visual aids, and also scaring the shit out of her. He just came to say goodbye because he's moving into his apartment, and Lexi is proud of him and shrugs off his attempts to give her credit. But not just her. Clip 10.
You could all use a helping hand once in a while, just like Peter helped me when I was having hard times.
Peter's an amazing guy. Charming, compassionate, successful.
Yes, he's all those things. What I admire the most in a man is loyalty. It's a lost virtue.
I never lost it. I better get going. You won't forget to visit, will you? No, of course you won't. You're loyal, too.
Hey, listen, I'll tell you what. I'm running around all day tomorrow, but why don't we meet for some dinner? Say around 8.
Oh, I don't want to intrude.
No, Peter's working late, and besides, I could use the company. Let's celebrate loyalty.
It's a deal.
Aren't you going to see each other at work at your fake company where you gave him a job, which is how he can afford this apartment now?
Yeah.
Wait. Let's celebrate loyalty. Ooh, sounds fun. She hugs him and he hugs her back a little too much. And back at the hospital, Kyle brings Amanda flowers. She vaguely pretends to care that she probably looks gross to him, but he calls her the most beautiful woman in the world. She thanks him for saving her life, but she saved his by surviving the crash. If she hadn't, he would have jumped off a tall building. So guess they didn't cover the end of Bobby Parisi's tenure in the time when they were dating. Speaking of that form of deceasement. Anyway, he is so sorry about his behavior, but the thought of her sleeping with Eric just made him crazy. Yeah, we know, dude. Anyway, clip 11.
I know how it must have looked.
Oh, but I know you better than that, and it doesn't matter anyway. I mean, if you had slept with him, I would understand, and I wouldn't care because I love you.
If I had known the effect it would have, I would have crashed that helicopter a lot sooner.
Speaking of which, I got some news, some hard news.
Does it have anything to do with the fact that I have no feeling below my waist?
There's a chance you might not walk again.
Well, if you believe that, then you don't know me as well as you think. I'm just taking a little rest here while everyone else tries to catch up. I'll walk again. I will run out of this damn hospital. Just better hope to hell you can keep up.
I can keep up. I can keep up.
They almost get there with him in this scene. He is cute, but it's still, like, it's not enough. And when him being like, even if you did sleep with Eric, I wouldn't care. Like, what?
What?
Since when? That was the whole plotline for the last, like, 5 episodes.
Yeah. All right, Scotchy McJealous. And, oh, God. Also, like, there's a chance that you won't walk again is not, there's almost no chance that you will walk again. Like, could we... I don't know. And then in this scene, she's fine. And in subsequent scenes, she's like, oh, whoa. I mean, yeah, this is bad. It's bad writing. Worse than usual.
True.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
The next day, Kyle finds Taylor weirdly sleeping sitting up on the couch in his office at the jazz club. Like, it's a couch. Lie down, you weirdo. He asks about the Vegas money. She already made the balloon payment. Everything's great now. It'll be just like old times, according to her, but not him. Clip 12.
The old times are gone, Taylor. They ended the day you chased out here after Peter Burns. I love Amanda.
But her back is broken. She's not going to be much fun in bed.
Don't.
Well, maybe she won't love you if she knows about our little Viva Las Vegas.
You do that, you and I are over. No restaurant, no club, no relationship whatsoever. I'll never talk to you again.
Fine. I don't care. I'll tear it all down. If I can't have you, least I can do is ruin your life with her. And you know I will.
Look, Taylor. Look. You're right. You and I, we did. We had some great times. All right? And we'll be close again in the future. Just, you know, maybe not exactly the way you want.
Maybe just a little the way I want it?
You know what? You and I will always be friends.
As long as you don't tell Amanda about our little fling.
Well, that fling happens to be a very cherished moment for me. Very private moment. Between good friends, that is. You know, Kyle, if you started to drift away from me, I could become very indiscreet.
Okay, Amanda already knows that Kyle and Taylor slept together like 3 episodes ago or whatever it was because she saw Taylor in her underwear in the courtyard. So mm-hmm. I don't know why he's so worried about Amanda finding out that they had sex one other time after that while they were broken up. Like, if the big deal is like, well, she was down in a helicopter, like they were still broken up. Like, there's,
yeah,
what I don't, this is completely preposterous and like dumb.
Yeah. And also, Kyle, don't be an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, just call her bluff. You want this over? Call her bluff.
Well,
enough.
I mean, you know. Spoiler, he does, but off screen, and we'll get to that annoyingly. Over to the hospital where we see Connie screw up her courage, then paste on a smile to go visit Sam. She's just been busy packing up and she's moving back to New York. Clip 13.
Really? How come? This doesn't have anything to do with Billy, does it?
No. I'm moving away from you.
What?
Just don't say anything, okay? Just let me. I'm kind of hung up on you. I always have been. My fantasy was that I would come here and break you and Billy up. And then tell you how much I loved you and you would say you felt the same way. That you'd wanted me always. And we'd go off and live in a loft in Soho, happily ever after.
You're gay.
I love how the timing, though, makes it seem like what made Sam figure it out was the loft in Soho part.
I know! It's like, what are you talking about? We live in a loft in Soho. Oh, you're Lebanese. Fucking Sam.
We'd live in a duplex on Staten Island. Oh, you're extra straight. Just kidding. Not really. Yeah, way to twig, Sam. This must be the emotional intelligence that Billy fell in love with. You were
LOL.
Best friends with this woman for years and years and somehow never
at
knew.
Art school.
At fucking art school. But anyway, they go on. Clip 14.
The thing is, you really love Billy. So my plan was a bad plan.
Why didn't you tell me a long time ago? Didn't you trust me at all? How could you even think that it would matter to me that you were gay?
The issue is not that I love women. The issue is I love you. Too much. I figured if you didn't know that, then you couldn't reject me.
I love you too. Not like that.
I know. That's the problem. But you know what? You got a really good thing with Billy. He's a really special guy. And now all I need to do is find someone special for me. Hi.
No, listen. I understand if you need to go now. But you have to understand that you will never be out of my life, that you will always be my best friend. So you damn well better not try to back out right now.
Okay, here's my grand theory about this, this plot line, is that originally the idea was Sam's queer friend comes to town and tries to break them up by, like, coming on to Sam in like subtle and then increasingly undeniable ways. And Fox was like, no, we can't.
Yeah.
Even in an era of like performative male gazy, like tattoo,
right,
fake lesbianism, like
right,
it was a bridge too far to have like a queer character you know, seem to have sexual agency. And that's why they had to go the long way around to be like, I was going to break you and Billy up and then swoop in rather than just like before the wedding, try to fool around with you and see what, like shoot your shot that way. You know what I mean? Like
right.
This is such the stupid long way around to do this story.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, 10 or even 5 years later, that's how they would have gone ahead with it, but they just couldn't at this point. And again, with that said, I think Megan Ward, once it's like back to the way that real people might speak to each other or behave, she does a pretty good job in that scene.
Yes.
Yeah. And the, you know, it's a lot of cliches, but she does okay. She sort of like claws it back with the character, at least for me.
Yeah.
But I mean, Samantha is a moron.
She really is.
Such a moron.
Yes. And then for this to be the end of it, it's like, well, that was a waste of time, you know?
Mm-hmm. And hey, anyone know where Charlie is?
Yeah. Not special, according to Connie. So
no.
There's that. Anyway.
Justice for Charlie. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe she'll meet someone who doesn't have mom hair.
Maybe.
At the practice with Peter, Coop pretends to care how Amanda's doing for like 3 seconds, and then duty done, changes the subject back to something he finds more compelling, himself. Clip 15.
And speaking of problems, we need to talk about Michael.
What now?
It's just you and I, we're uptown kind of docs, and Michael's a downtown kind of guy. I mean, we bring in executive ulcers, he brings in gallstones.
I don't mind having a wide patient base.
No, it's more than that. There's something off about Mancini, and the patients know it. It's time to get rid of him. He's dead weight.
Those are bold words coming from a man who let Kimberly's mother run amok with a scalpel. Isn't this vendetta thing getting a little tiresome?
I'm just looking out for the best interest of the practice.
Michael and I started this practice together. So back off, Doctor. He's out when I say he's out.
Suit yourself. You know, from what I've seen, the guy's got a knack for shooting himself in the foot. So I guess I'll just grab front row seat and watch.
Bring a Vitamix for your metaphors. But
yeah.
Also, are gallstones a low-class medical problem? I was not aware of that.
No, me neither.
Okay.
Sigh. That, what now? I mean, evergreen, truly.
Yeah. But I love the idea, like, we're uptown kind of doctors. Like, why? Because you're both blonde? Like, one of you got his wife hooked on pills and is a quasi-necrophiliac, and the other one stole a guy's identity. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Like, and tried to kill Amanda before marrying her and then getting divorced. Among other things.
Among many other things. Mm-hmm. Yes. Anyway, at the condo, Lexi comes downstairs in her satin robe to a knock at the door. It's Bob in a suit with flowers. He is early for their dinner, but he just couldn't wait. And he doesn't mind that she's running a bit late, but she explains that it's because Peter came home a little early, so they got sidetracked. And Bob decides to ignore that. Clip 16.
You know, I figure if I get good at this job, Peter got home here?
Well, it is my home, Bob. And I'm starving.
For food, anyway. I gotta go.
Wait, you're not gonna stay for dinner?
No, I just came by to give you the flowers and tell you my news.
Oh, you can't leave.
No, it's okay. I just ran into an old friend and I got a date. You too. Go ahead. I'll catch up with you some other time.
Hey, Bob. Next time, call first.
I mean, that whole scene is very weird and not thought through, but sure.
Yeah. So then Michael's pulling his car into a body shop because there's smoke under his hood. It will probably take a couple of hours to fix, but he can go get a shitty burger up the street if he wants. And if you were thinking, did Coop fuck with Michael's car? There's no evidence of that. This is only happening so that Michael can be distracted by another nearby business between him and the diner with the shitty burgers, a strip club. And the face that Michael makes is like, very funny seeing the visual aids.
Yeah. Providence has smiled upon me.
Indeed. At the complex, Megan is improbably reading Architecture Today when Coop comes up behind her and starts kissing on her neck. And you'd think he would get more turned on when she doesn't respond, but instead he asks what's wrong, and she passive-aggressively says she's fine before changing to not knowing who he is anymore and repeating what she totally overheard at the practice earlier and how it makes her think she actually is a trophy in his war with Michael. And she whines that he should give up on vengeance and just ignore Michael. And Coop agrees, and she pretends to ice him out, but then gives in. And so were we short on the runtime or what? What was the point of any of that? And then we're inside the strip club as Michael watches a blonde with a pixie cut in truly underwear from the Sears catalog. See it in the visual aids if you don't believe me.
Yes.
This is Amber. It is definitely
Blondes
not.
Blondes of Melrose.
This is Amber. She is definitely not season one Jane Mancini. No matter what you may think, they look so much alike. After her number, she heads straight for Michael, orders him to buy her a drink, says he looks cute. He comes on to her, but she doesn't date customers. But he's not a customer. He's a doctor and introduces himself with his full government name. And this is the first of many Michael Mancini of all fucking people on the show would know how to act at a strip club, which is number one. Understanding the girls don't want to date you. This is their job. Number two, having a standard fake name he uses. Number three, having a standard fake job. He's not Michael Mancini. He's Malcolm McFarlane, and he's an accountant or something. Like, he would not tell her what he does or who he is so that she could possibly find him later for any kind of other purposes. Like, this guy would know.
Yeah, because he's already been married to and is now recently divorced from someone in a contiguous industry, shall we say.
Yes. Anyway, they banter tiresomely about whether he could be her doctor. And when his beer is delivered, she stands straight up because her shift is over and the management just wants them to get guys to buy liquor. And he gives her a shocked face. Again, he would know this. Most people watching know it. I know it. Yeah. I've never been to a strip club. I just live in the world.
Yeah, grade schoolers know that shit.
For real. So Michael offers to buy more, but Amber has to get up for school in the morning, which, like, judging by her looks, may be 12th grade. But he says to himself his car is probably done. So he's in the parking lot when a guy attacks Amber on her way to her car. Michael pulls the guy off, gets punched hard in the face, and the guy gets away with Amber's purse anyway. But she still tells him he saved her bacon, and he mumbles that he's a real Prince Charming, like from before when he was disdainful of Kyle. Ha ha, how his chickens have come home to roost, etc. And Amber pointedly says he knows what the prince gets to do, and when he doesn't move, she kisses him pretty hard for someone who just got punched in the face. But if he comes by the next night, she'll give him something special. The next day at the practice, Michael is bruised enough to disturb a patient with the look of his face, but he brushes her off and slams his office door and then calls Megan on the intercom to bring him coffee and aspirin. And he's lying on the couch when she comes in and asks what happened. He pouts that she doesn't care, and she just warns him to get his act together at the practice because of, you know, stuff. And that night at Kyle's, Jennifer is rhapsodizing about how romantic Billy and Kyle's rescue was to Craig, who mutters that there's nothing romantic about wet socks and is right, by the way. And if he thought that was going to end the conversation, he is wrong. Clip 17.
But really, would you do that for me? Battle over rock slides, slay dragons, forge ahead until you saved me?
That kind of thing is purely for show.
But they saved Sam and Amanda's lives.
Well, technically, it was a search and rescue team that took them up there. Kyle and Billy just went to plant their flags.
Well, of course you're gonna diss it. Kyle grabbed Amanda, not you.
Okay, granted, Kyle never saved me from a burning building. But we still always had the best sex, and we're still two of the most connected people on the planet. This tramping around the woods is something he gets off on. It's just a marine thing.
Would you do that for me?
Would it involve giving up a personal day?
Why is our relationship still so casual? I mean, at least there's fire between Kyle and Taylor, even if they hate each other.
Well, he wouldn't say he hates me. He might dislike me a little, but he doesn't hate me.
I am so tired of getting your emotional leftovers.
You are my emotional leftover. You know, I hate to be the one to break this to you, but I never really found you really appealing. You were there, and that's all. It was too much trouble to throw you out of my bed, and now I'm getting tired of wasting my feelings on a dead-end relationship.
You better close your mouth, Craig. You wouldn't want any stray feelings to get loose.
How many times have we watched this exchange exactly?
This is at least the third time.
Like,
at least.
Lady, get a hint.
Yeah. Your boobs look amazing. You can have literally anybody.
Yeah. This is
him?
Not worth it at all.
No. And I actually feel for him too that he's like, now I have to be a real cock to, so that she gets the hint, which she won't. Like, mm-hmm. We will probably see this conversation again.
Mm-hmm. So Jennifer storms out. Even Taylor takes Jennifer's side, calling Craig a pig, which, like, seeing the two of them at the end of the scene, I was like, maybe these two should fuck. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
they seem like they would have one or two things in common.
Mm-hmm.
At the hospital, Peter checks on Amanda. She has been thinking about being paralyzed and that it puts her life in perspective. She almost died without appreciating what she has. Friends, work, love, etc. And they're holding hands when Kyle returns, bugging out his eyes at this extremely non-carnal touch. And to Peter's credit, he takes a moment before letting go of her hand, setting it down, like patting it nicely, telling Kyle on his way out he's lucky and he shouldn't blow it. And at the club that night, Michael's at the front rail when Amber comes out in a satin sexy nurse outfit straight from Party City. And then gives him her number, so I guess her manager's on a break. And back at the condo, Peter and Lexi are on the couch making out when she stops and explains why she is stopping in the weirdest possible way. Clip 18.
I just got the creepiest feeling, like the night is coming too close.
What? What is that phrasing?
Like, yeah, all right.
Okay.
Charles Pukowski, whatever.
I was going to say Lord Byron, but either way. Peter suggests they go upstairs, but Lexi decides to push through. She's never felt safer than she does in Peter's arms. But the score goes nuts as we see Bob is outside peeking through the blinds. And as he watches her, he flashes back to the night of the hit and run, and a clear memory of Lexi behind the wheel snaps into place. Clip 19.
You hit me.
The guitar goes on a lot longer, but I was,
yeah,
it had a little
really
restraint.
It also thinks that it's scoring some, like, forbidden love scene, but
mm-hmm.
No.
No. And that's the episode. Let's close up by naming our episode MVP. Oh, I want to say Ranger Virgil because I love Jim Beaver so much, but he did keep backing down when Kyle yelled at him, so I kind of can't, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'll say Sam. She was the one who lit the fire that let them find them, so good job.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, God. I don't know. Coop.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, his scheming continues to get results,
it's
and everyone
true.
Else kind of has some serious downsides. Like, I don't know. I don't want to say Peter twice in a row just for being played by Jack Wagner. So I guess it's Coop this one time, but I'm not happy about it.
Fair enough. Least valuable player. God.
Kyle? I don't know.
Yeah, Kyle, he's
stupid.
Like
stupid.
Yes. Yeah. Kyle is just doing everything wrong, honestly.
Yeah, and just being the most and not in a good way.
Mm-mm.
Next time on Again With This, traumatic flashbacks, a marriage proposal, and a triple cross. Sounds interesting, right? Wrong. Speaking of wrong, many of the sartorial and tonsorial choices on the show, and you can see them all for yourself in our visual aids. You'll find those for this and every other episode of Again With This at againwiththispodcast.com. We're also on Twitter at AWT90210 and get extra episodes and access to our Discord at againwiththispodcast.com/club. Or what happens in Vegas can stay on our phone line, that's voice or text, 210-920-4699. I'm Creepiest Feeling, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is Air and Ground Party, Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, is just so sleepy. Can't blame him. Talk to you next time.
Hope you choke on it.
Yes!
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.